Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, clap your hands and give the Lord some praise. Tell you a little story. There was an old mother who lived in New Orleans who was displaced by Hurricane Katrina. She lost everything that she had, a home, car, family. And when they evacuated her, they sent her to a shelter between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And while she sat there on a cot that they had provided for her, she had been without food and water and the necessities, and she began to cry. She started to shed tears. But while she was crying, she thought on the goodness of the Lord. And she started singing this little song. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, help me say that. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I need some help.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, lift your voice and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, a young man walked up to her and said, Mother, why are you calling on Jesus? Shouldn't you be calling on FEMA? Shouldn't you be calling on the Red Cross, Salvation Army? Or better yet, shouldn't you be calling on President Bush and Cheney and those? And she said, son, you don't understand. There's a reason why I'm calling on that name. Because that's the name that's above every name. And she said, there's a reason why I'm calling on that name, Jesus. And you know what she told that young boy? She said, come here, let me tell you why I call on that name. Savior, Savior, Savior. Come on, help me say that.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Anybody know him as the Savior?
Savior, Savior, Savior.
What's his name?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Come on, help me say Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
Everybody lift your voice. Savior. Oh, he's a Savior.
Savior, Savior, Savior.
What's his name? Yeah.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Well, about that time, the paramedic was rushing by with a stretcher. They had an old man on the stretcher that had a seizure because he couldn't get his medication and his prescription. And she stopped him and said, where are you taking this man? They said, we're trying to get him over to the triage unit and get him some medical attention. She said, let me look at him. And while she was looking at the old man, a young girl came up with a baby in her arm, and the baby had a fever. She said, let me look at the baby too. And the young boy said, why you want to look at these folks? Why you want to look at these folks? You know what she told him? Healer, healer, healer. That's what the old mother said.
Healer, healer, healer.
I wish y'all would help me say that up in here. Come on.
Healer, healer, healer.
What's his name?
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Anybody know him as a healer? Come on.
Healer, healer, healer.
Why don't you wave your hand and say healer?
Healer, healer, healer.
Yeah, he's a healer. What's the Lord's name?
Jesus, Jesus.
Well, about that time, there was a big commotion over by the exit door. Folks was rushing over to the exit door to see what was going on. They was making a lot of noise, and somebody sent a note, and it said there were 3 tractor trailers out there with food, water, and medicine, and mother started to really cry now. She really lost it now. And then somebody else sent another note, said there were 2 more tractor trailers that just showed up with dry clothes and pampers and all the other stuff that they needed. And mother just lost it. She just started boo-hooing all over the place. And the young boy walked up to mother and said, "Mother, why are you crying now? You ought to be rejoicing. You ought to be shouting and rejoicing. Why are you crying now?" She said, "Son, once again, you don't understand." You know what she told him? She lifted up her hand. She said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Come on, y'all, help me here. Thank you. Anybody want to tell him thank you? What's his name? Jesus. Why don't y'all help me tell him thank you? Come on, y'all.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Has he done anything for you? You want to tell him thank you?
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. What's his name? Jesus. Come on, lift your hands all over the building. Thank you. A shelter in a time of storm. Be there when things go wrong, yeah. There's power in that name, yes it is. Healing in that name, yeah, yeah. Call his name, yeah. Somebody ought to call him by his name, Jesus. Sing it one more time, Jesus, Jesus.
I wish I had some praises in here.
Just go touch about 3 folks and tell them all you need to do is call Jesus. All you need to do is call Jesus.
Have you ever felt stuck in a rut, wondering if there's more to life than what you're experiencing? Do you long for a fresh start, a new beginning that breathes life into your weary soul? My friends, I have exciting news for you today. God is doing a new thing in your life right now, even as we speak. He's working behind the scenes, orchestrating circumstances and aligning opportunities that will propel you into a future brighter than you can imagine. Today, We'll explore how God is moving in fresh, unexpected ways to bring about transformation and renewal in your life. I am also going to pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. Imagine for a moment, you're on a hiking trail. You've walked 100 times before. Suddenly, you notice a hidden path that you've never seen, leading to breathtaking vistas and adventures unknown. That's what God is doing in your life right now, revealing new paths, new possibilities, and new horizons. In the book of Isaiah, 43 verse 19, God declares, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." My dear friends, God is making roads where there were none before. He's causing rivers of blessing to flow in the dry, barren places of your life. Are you ready to step into the new thing God is doing? Let's go deeper into this powerful truth and discover how it can transform your life today. My friends, let's begin by exploring how we can recognize the new things God is doing in our lives. Often, we're so caught up in our daily routines that we miss the subtle signs of God's fresh movements. But when we open our spiritual eyes, we start to see evidence of His work all around us. God's new thing might come as a sudden inspiration, an unexpected opportunity, or a shift in your circumstances. It could be a new passion ignited in your heart, or a door opening that you never even knew existed. The key is to stay alert and expectant, knowing that God is always at work on your behalf. In the book of Jeremiah, 33 verse 3, we find a beautiful promise. "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." This verse reminds us that God is eager to reveal new things to us when we seek Him. He wants to show us perspectives and possibilities we've never considered before. But to receive these revelations, we must be willing to call out to Him in prayer and expectation. My dear friends, God's new work often begins in the quiet corners of our hearts. It starts with a whisper, a gentle nudge, or a small seed of faith planted in our spirits. As we nurture that seed through prayer, study of His Word, and obedience, it grows into something beautiful and transformative. Remember, God's new thing isn't always flashy or dramatic. Sometimes it's a subtle shift in your thinking or a gradual change in your character. It might be a newfound peace in a difficult situation or a fresh burst of creativity in your work. The important thing is to recognize these changes as evidence of God's hand moving in your life. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." This verse reminds us that as believers, we are constantly being renewed and transformed by God's power. The new thing that God is doing isn't just external circumstances. It's a profound inner work that changes who we are at our core. My friends, I encourage you to take a moment each day to reflect on the ways God might be moving in your life. Keep a journal of the small changes, the unexpected blessings, and the new insights you receive. Over time, you'll start to see a pattern of God's faithfulness and creativity in your journey. Don't be discouraged if you don't see dramatic changes overnight. God's new work often unfolds gradually, like a beautiful sunrise, slowly illuminating the sky. trust in his perfect timing and his infinite wisdom. He knows exactly what you need and when you need it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, we're reminded, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. This verse teaches us that while we may not always understand God's methods or timing, we can trust that he is working all things together for our good. My dear friends, as you go about your day, I challenge you to look for signs of God's new work in your life. It might be in a kind word from a stranger, a moment of clarity in a difficult decision, or an unexpected solution to a long-standing problem. Be open to the possibility that God is doing something fresh and exciting, even in the most ordinary moments of your day. Remember, God is not bound by our limited imagination or past experiences. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, capable of bringing forth new wonders we've never even dreamed of. In the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9, God declares, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let these words sink deep into your spirit, my friends. God's plans for your life are far greater and more wonderful than anything you could devise on your own. His new thing is not just a slight improvement on your current situation. It's a radical transformation that will leave you in awe of his goodness and power. I want to encourage you to cultivate an attitude of expectancy and gratitude. Expect God to move in new and exciting ways in your life. Thank him in advance for the fresh work he's doing, even if you can't see it fully yet. Your faith and gratitude will create an atmosphere where God's new thing can flourish and grow. My friends, now that we've learned to recognize God's new work, let's explore how we can fully embrace and participate in it. God's invitation to experience his new thing is not just a spectator sport. It requires our active engagement and cooperation. So how do we position ourselves to fully receive and flow with God's fresh moves in our lives? First and foremost, we must be willing to let go of the old to make room for the new. This can be challenging, as we often find comfort in familiar routines and ways of thinking. But God's new thing often requires us to step out of our comfort zones and into uncharted territory. In the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 38, Jesus teaches, "But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." This verse illustrates the principle that God's new work often requires new mindsets and approaches. We can't fully experience God's fresh move if we're clinging to past patterns and beliefs. My dear friends, are there areas in your life where you've become stuck in old ways of thinking or doing? Ask God to reveal any attitudes or habits that might be hindering you from embracing God's new thing. Be willing to surrender these to God, trusting that his plans for you are far better than anything you're holding on to. Remember, God's new thing is not just about external circumstances, it's about inner transformation. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse 26, God promises, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." God wants to renew you from the inside out, giving you a heart that's soft and responsive to his leading. This inner renewal is key to fully embracing the new directions God has for your life. My friends, as you seek to embrace God's new thing, cultivate a spirit of flexibility and openness. Be willing to adapt your plans and expectations as God leads you in new directions. Sometimes God's new thing might look different from what we initially imagined or hoped for. But we can trust that His ways are higher and His plans are better than our own. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, we're encouraged. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. This verse reminds us that embracing God's new thing requires trust and surrender. We may not always understand the path that God is leading us on, but we can trust His guidance implicitly. My dear friends, as you step into God's new thing, be prepared for resistance and challenges. The enemy often tries to discourage us when we're on the brink of a breakthrough. Don't let setbacks or opposition shake your faith in what God is doing. Instead, see these challenges as opportunities to grow stronger in your faith and more dependent on God's power. In the book of James, 1 verses 2 to 4, we're taught, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." These verses remind us that the process of embracing God's new thing may involve trials, but these challenges are designed to refine and strengthen us. Another key aspect of embracing God's new thing is maintaining an attitude of expectancy and hope. Believe that God has good things in store for you, even when circumstances seem bleak. Your faith and positive expectation create an atmosphere where God's new thing can flourish. In the book of Jeremiah, 29 verse 11, God declares, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Let this promise fuel your hope and expectation as you step into God's new thing. My friends, embracing God's new direction also involves taking bold steps of faith. While God is the one doing the new thing, He often invites us to participate through obedient action. Is there a step of faith God is asking you to take? Perhaps it's forgiving someone who has hurt you, stepping out in a new ministry, or making a career change. Whatever it is, know that as you step out in obedience, God will meet you with His power and provision. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, God encourages, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let these words encourage you to step confidently into the new things God is doing. Remember, my dear friends, that embracing God's new thing is a journey, not a destination. It's a daily choice to trust God. Remain flexible and keep your eyes fixed on His leading. Some days, you may feel like you're making great progress. Other days, you might feel stuck or uncertain. But take heart. God is faithful to complete the good work He has begun in you. In the book of Philippians 1, verse 6, we're assured, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." My friends, embrace God's new thing with enthusiasm and joy. Don't let fear or uncertainty hold you back from the amazing plans that God has for you. Step into His new thing with confidence, knowing that the God of the universe is working on your behalf. My friends, Let's now focus on the amazing promise and hope that comes with embracing God's new thing in our lives. This promise is not just a distant hope, but a present reality that can transform our perspective and fuel our faith. First, we must understand that God's promise of new things is rooted in His unchanging character. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, God declares, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." This verse reminds us that while God is doing a new thing, His faithful nature remains constant. We can trust in His promises because He is always true to His word. My dear friends, when God promises to do a new thing in your life, it's not a maybe, it's a certainty. His promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. This assurance should fill us with hope and expectation, even when circumstances seem challenging. Embracing the promise of God's new thing requires us to cultivate a mindset of abundance rather than scarcity. God is not limited by our current realities or past experiences. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20, we're reminded, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let this truth expand your vision of what's possible as you embrace God's new thing. My friends, the promise of God's new thing is not just about external blessings, but about inner transformation and renewed purpose. God wants to renew your mind, refresh your spirit, and reignite your passion for life and ministry. He's offering you a new perspective that sees possibilities where others see problems. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 16, we're encouraged, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." This verse reminds us that God's new thing is an ongoing process of inner renewal and growth. As we embrace this promise, we'll find ourselves becoming more like Christ each day. My dear friends, embracing the promise of God's new thing also involves letting go of past disappointments and failures. God's new thing is not limited by your history. He specializes in giving beauty for ashes and joy for mourning. Don't let past setbacks prevent you from embracing the fresh start God is offering you today. Don't forget the words from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 to 19, where God declares, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Let these words inspire you to look forward with hope, knowing that God is making a way where there seems to be no way. Another key aspect of embracing the promise of God's new thing is maintaining an attitude of gratitude and praise. Even before you see the full manifestation of God's new work, thank Him for what He's doing. Your praise creates an atmosphere where God's promises can flourish. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18, we're instructed, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Cultivate a habit of thanking God daily for the new thing He's doing in your life. My friends, as you embrace the promise of God's new thing, be prepared for divine acceleration. When God starts moving, things can change rapidly. Be ready to move with His timing, even if it feels faster than you're comfortable with. trust that he will equip you for every new season and opportunity. Remember, the promise of God's new thing is not just for your benefit alone. As you experience God's fresh move, you become a beacon of hope for others. Your testimony of God's faithfulness can inspire faith in those around you. The promise of God's new thing is available to you right now. You don't have to wait for perfect circumstances or feel completely ready. God is inviting you to step into his new thing today with all its promise and potential. Will you embrace the promise of God's new thing with open arms and an expectant heart? The choice is yours, and the adventure awaits. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me, so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Your majesty fills the heavens, and your glory fills the earth. I stand in awe of your infinite wisdom and boundless love. You are the God who makes all things new, the Creator who speaks life into existence. Your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for your unwavering presence in my life. I'm grateful for your constant guidance and the new opportunities you provide each day. Thank you for your promise to do a new thing in my life. Merciful Father, I confess my sins before you and ask for your forgiveness. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and create in me a clean heart. I also choose to forgive those who have wronged me, releasing all bitterness, anger, and resentment. Lord, I pray that you would open my spiritual eyes to see the new thing you're doing in my life. Help me to recognize your fresh moves and align myself with your divine purposes. Give me the courage to step out of my comfort zone and into the new territories you're calling me to. I declare that old things have passed away, and all things have become new in my life. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit of stagnation and complacency. I bind every force that seeks to keep me tied to the past, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a renewed mind that can comprehend the vastness of your plans for me. Transform my thinking and align my desires with your perfect will. Let your new thing spring forth in every area of my life, in my relationships, the work of my hands, and my personal growth. Lord, equip me with everything I need for this new season. I pray for your healing touch upon every part of my body, soul, and spirit. Make me whole and restore me to full health in the name of Jesus. I ask for your divine protection against every attack of the enemy, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. Shield me from harm, disease, and every evil plot. Lord, I lift up my loved ones before you. I pray that the same blessings of renewal, healing, and protection would be upon them. Let your new thing manifest in their lives as well, bringing transformation and joy. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I'm grateful for every heart that is opening before you right now. We come in agreement, praying for each other and for the new thing you're doing in our midst. We declare victory over every obstacle and challenge in our lives. We claim the promise of your healing and restoration for each one of us. Let your Holy Spirit fill us afresh and empower us to walk in the newness of life. We thank you for your protection and guidance as we step into the new territories you're leading us to. May we be sensitive to your leading and bold in our obedience. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forevermore. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this message, type the word Amen in the comments section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons.
Spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What we know is this. God is always doing a new thing for us. And so because of this, watch how God is doing the new thing in your life. Old things passes away. It goes. New things come. But as we watch the hand of God open up for us, we get to see his love. And this morning, a lot is going on in the world. And we are in America. So a lot is going on in America. But we serve a God that loves us. He still loves us. And he loved us so that he sent his only begotten son. The problem is many don't believe. And we as believers, we have to renew it daily and remember daily that God so loved us and God is yet on our side in spite of everything that's going on in this country. Our God is the God of all power. He's wise. There's nothing he can't fix that man has broken. But what we have to do is give it all to God. Turn and walk away. Today we want to talk about, fret not about what is happening. Don't over-concern yourself. Don't worry about what's happening. Today is August the 27th, 2024. And again, there's so much going on. Wrong appears to be right. Good appears to be evil. People want more wrong than right. So where are we headed? Where are we headed? We know that everyone won't be saved. We know that everyone won't believe in Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, his son, his word, the Holy Bible. The scriptures are fulfilling, but people refuse to accept it. And many times, leadership is not right because they didn't come out to lead a people to God. They come out to lead a people to their wallet, to their purses. And whatever someone else said is what they're going on. They're not going on the word of God. And many times people are weak. And then people don't want to study for themselves. They don't want to seek God for themselves. So they follow whatever the leadership. They say they're godly leadership. But they're sheep in wolf's clothing. I looked out, and then, you know, I don't really keep up with the news and things like that, but God get the information to me, whatever I need to hear, whatever I need to know. Somebody will bring it to me, or he'll just drop it in my spirit. But when you do your own house wrong, it can't stand. Yeah. If my parents was against us as the children, my mom was against my dad against my mom, the house never could have stand. If my dad came home drunk and he beat up my mom or he took his money and spending on liquor all the time. So we was always short of clothes. We was always hungry and many different, the house could not stand. Eventually it was going to divide. My mom would take us and head for the hills. So the home was destroyed where it could have been built. And this is the way I feel about we as the people of God. We're separating within ourselves. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to tell one another the truth. But many times when you tell the truth to others, they hate you for it. They no longer want to be associated with you. I know the truth hurt. The truth can be embarrassing. But yet we need the truth to be set free. Free from anything that's holding us back, that's making us afraid or making us ashamed. The truth, if you learn to accept it, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I'm one that have struggled with the truth. And there may be times now when the truth come forth, I'm like, what? But then I go back and I reevaluate everything. I take it to the Lord in prayer and he'll show me, yeah, this, and this. He'll show it to me. Now, once I see it, I got to accept it. I heard it. And see, for anything you're trying to do, believing it is to hear it. The more you hear it, the more you're going to believe it. So what you have to do is pray. So that if this is a truth about me, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, Lord, I need you to change that. I need you to fix me. I want to give this up. I don't want to be in this place anymore. It's against you. It's against your word. But many times we're running hide with it. I try to sweep it back up under the rug. And here, this faithful few, I believe with all my heart, this faithful few of people are going to be those that will come back to judge the world. Because if you get the truth and you put it to work, you accept it, and you go to God in prayer, it's already all right. And when you stand before him, you'll get to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Come on in. And if you don't get to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful, he has to just say, come on in. You wasn't out there every day spreading the word. You weren't out there. But you lived a life before him that showed him you love him. And when you got an opportunity, you told people about what he did for you. You know, you wasn't on the corner with the big sign, Jesus saved. You wasn't on the job with it rolled across your shirt in big letters. But he knew the very intent of your heart. And you was one of those that was not going for wrong being right and right being wrong and evil being good and good being evil. No, you wasn't that kind. You had plenty to say about it. Some people, when it comes to doing wrong in places that they are part of, and they see that the leadership is going for what's wrong and calling it right, they will leave. Many left the church because of this. I have never seen a more messed up country than this one, America. And see, they don't want you to say stuff. Be careful what you say. Look here. The scripture told me this. God inspired man to let me know, cry loud and spare not. Why? I trust him. Why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? That rod and that staff, they comfort me. And when the enemy come after me, God prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Well, Barbara, do you believe? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm hearing things. I told you I don't watch the news and all of that because God already told me what was coming down, what was going to happen. When I hear these things, don't be afraid. Just know it's closer to his return. He said it would be wars and rumors of wars and many other things that would be taking place. He's yet God. He's yet our God. And he won't fail us. He's yet our God, and no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We're the head this morning and not the tail. We're above today and not beneath. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Jesus Christ. We can look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. But my God, I should say our God, shall supply all our need according to his riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. So whatever the world is doing, those people that are not in him and he's not in them yet, whatever they are doing, we give it to God. And we keep looking to him to be supplied with what we need, what our family needs, what our friends need, what our ministries need. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Because if more people are coming here or have come here and they are not legally to be here or legal to be here, and our leadership is putting other people who should not be here above us, we better pray. We can get nothing, but they get everything. We need to pray. And see, it's this. Many times our God is not the other people's God. They see what our God has done for us, but they don't see it as God doing it. They're seeing it as man is doing it. And that's the land over there flowing with milk and honey. Let's go over there and get some of that milk and honey. And the leadership is just giving all the milk and honey to them and none to us. But yet, our money, our hard work, we get no credit for it. We get it, our money taken away from us to put it somewhere else with people who should not be here. And it's not prejudice against people. It's none of that. Right is right and wrong is wrong. That's just a simple thing. But today they twist things around and they got it all backwards and all kind of messed up, even for children. Our children don't stand a ghost of a chance. Because where they are to learn to be educated to survive in our world, that's not important to them anymore. English, history, math, that's really not important. It's your preference. It's your gender. All kind of stuff that makes no sense. But yet this is what our leadership accept. This is what our leadership appear to be pushing. And we continue to pray for the leadership. Without God, we can do nothing. And if our leadership are not following the word of God to the letter, we are in some serious trouble, and we've been in trouble. This is why it's important to prepare for the return of the Lord, because we don't know the day nor the hour when he's returning. We don't have a date. He didn't give a date. The apostles asked Jesus, and he told them, I don't know, only the Father know. So we want to be ready when he call our name. We want to be ready when he come back. And we don't want to fret about what's happening. We want to open our eyes and pray the prayer of faith. We want to open our eyes and pray for the leadership of this country. Yeah. Because something is not right. Things are not adding up. And we have to pray so that the blood of Jesus will cover us. Yeah. They said America was land of the free, home of the brave. We have freedom of speech. But I beg the difference today. We have to be careful what we say, how we say it, and where we say it at. Yeah, it's coming down to the wire. And what I'm saying is that the name of Jesus is a name that they won't ban. The Bible, King James, and is wanted to be abandoned. I mean, banned. They want it out of here. Anybody can do anything they're big enough to do, and they don't want you to say anything against it because of what the Bible say, because of what Jesus said. I'm just telling you, prepare yourself now. All of this is coming down. You don't see Jesus being said in a lot of places. You hear higher power. You hear him upstairs. You hear many different things, but you people, it's as if they're afraid, and many are, to say the name of Jesus. In other countries, that's why I said the world, so much is going on. In other countries, people have to hide, to pray, hide, to openly read their Bible, have Bible study. America used to be a country that believed in God. America used to be a country that believed in going to church every week. Wednesday Bible study, Sunday praise and worship service. Some churches had a Friday night service. The church I come from, we had Friday night. We had Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And Saturday, the choir would rehearse. Sometimes we had revival, so we went more than one night out the week. It was an exciting time to come home from work and run and take a shower or bath and get dressed because you had church that night. And the preacher that was coming in, you had never heard him preach before. And you was just expecting a word from the Lord. People back in the 50s and 60s, and I'm sure before then, would walk miles to get to the revival. Today people have cars and they won't drive 2 seconds to go to revival. And see, the enemy has exposed a lot of things to show the world that preachers are not sent by God. They're not godly people. But listen, you can be in God believing today and tomorrow out of there. So we don't hold it against them. You hear me talk about the leadership. But we don't hold it against them. But what we do is pray for them that they would allow God back into their lives. But some didn't start like that. Some never went to the altar and said, I do to him. They just come out the box to receive money because they see how gullible people are for different things. They say they are of God. So now today, too, it made it stiff and hard for real men and women of God. It made it hard for those that are in dire need of something that the church could help them with. Because the church, so-called church, because the church don't do it, but the so-called church investigating. You say you need the electric bill, bring your electric bill. What happened to your income? They are like the government, like the welfare system, the food stamp system. He told us to bring the tithes and offering into his house, you know, that there'd be meat there. And that we could be a blessing to others. There should be a ministry in the church of food and clothing. And we found out one of our brothers and sisters in Christ who's faithful, or as people say, a member. I'm not a member of a building, but I'm a member of Christ, of the body. But anyway, we should have this in place, and we take this to them. And today they want your name on the roll and know a little bit about you so that they're not serving outside of who gave in that building. I don't think that's right. Again, this morning God told them, use the apostle to tell the people, go sell all you got and bring it back so that everybody can get what they need. But we don't do that anymore. You go to a church asking for help now. Many of them, not all. We ain't talking about the house of prayer now. We just talking about these buildings people done put together and put a good name on it. And they got somebody over there screaming out about prosperity and everything. You're going to be persecuted in a way because you lost your job. You wasn't able to save money. You was too busy paying your mortgage or paying your rent, your electric and your water, buying food on the table. So you didn't have anything left over for savings. Matter of fact, you needed a little bit more, and you may have had to take a second job somewhere so that you could have a phone and your children could have a phone so they'll be able to call you in case of an emergency or so that you would know the whereabouts of your children. Not because everybody at school had one, so you want your child to have a phone like everybody else. No, you got your child a phone for reasons, great reasons. Good reasons. So that they fret not about what's happening. Because I'm looking at Second Chronicles. And I'm looking at 7 and 14. And this is what it says. And this is to the American people, because this was based on God. I believe this country was based on being put together by God. And he allowed different nationalities to come together, to love one another and to build together so that we can say, this is our country. I invented peanut butter. You invented a lamp pole. We all was from different places. Originally, nobody came from here but the people that was already here. And they had in place what they knew. But we came to enhance what they had. And then it got to the point of money. In sin did my mother conceive me. If we go back and we look at Noah, he told, I'm going to have to destroy man because man is evil and continue to find more and more things to do that's evil. So as God brought this together, and the first people was in place to ensure the ways of God, as they died out, others come in and it began to change. But this is what he inspired man to write for us today, so that we'll know. Don't take the same evil path and wicked path that others took, but stay in place with me. I won't leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the end. Do the same to me. Don't leave me. Don't forsake me. Stay with me until the end. Second Chronicles and chapter 7. Verse 14, if my people, I know we heard this a million times, if not more, but I want you to listen this morning because this is serious business. We don't want to fret because of what's going on. We want to know we have a sure place in God and that we're going to be provided for. We're going to be protected. We're going to be taken care of. We want to be sure we're not like the world. We're overthinking things. We over-concerned. We worried and all of this. But this is what he said. He inspired man to write for us, and we must believe. If my people, which are called by my name, if he saved you, he called you, shall humble themselves. That's the first key. This is why truth is so important. It's very important for us to love the truth, because we'll be able to humble ourselves. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When I come out the box, he saved me, sanctified me, filled me with his spirit. He told me who I was. He told me what I was to do. I was an evangelist, and I was to spread the word, and, you know, share the good news of him. And he gave me the gift of giving, the gift of love, the gift of caring. He gave me many gifts. And to use these gifts for the sake of the people to be a blessing. But I first had to accept the truth about me. When I accept the truth about me, it blessed me to humble myself. And not think more of myself than I ought to. And when God bless me, don't walk around and act like I deserved it. Or that I did it. I got more than you. I'm better than you. Humble myself. To get there, it will cause humility. It will cause you to be ashamed of some things, and you got to stand, although you're ashamed. Telling people I went to prison, telling people I lost my children. All of these are humbling experiences. And I had to tell some people that I didn't want to tell. Especially church folks, you know, pastors and bishops, yeah, people in so-called high places. But it humbled me. And it taught me to pray. It taught me to seek God's face. And to turn from my wicked ways. Yeah, I still had some ways that was wrong about me that I had to continue to work on and had to continue to go to God to be delivered from. Some things have a strong hold on you. Money can have a very strong hold on you. Women can have a strong hold on men. Men can have a strong hold on women. And these are people. You can't have but one at a time, but these are people you're not married to. Some of them are people you're never planning to marry. Sometimes it's somebody else's wife, it's somebody else's husband. But turn from your wicked ways. All of that's wicked. Stealing, lying, cheating. All of that's wicked. Backbiting, gossiping. All of that is wicked because it's not of God. It's of evil. It's of the enemy. And we know he come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, if you do these things, then will he hear from heaven and forgive the sin and heal the land. Today, America is full of sin and the land need a healing from the leadership to the baby. From the leadership to the baby that was born just a few minutes ago, it needs healing. We need to turn back to God. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the old path and take a look around. Nobody want to go back to the old path because we're lazy people. We don't want to work for nothing. We'll work hard for money. But we don't want to work to get right with God. Before we work hard to get right with God, we drop it. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it next week. Tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's not promised to us. Shantae was telling me about Bible study last night. And we were deciding on a day to be faithful. A Bible study in the house between she and I. And I told her, well, we could choose the tradition today, Wednesday or Thursday. It don't matter. Monday is good with me. Tuesday, any day. Because we got to get there. And we got to be reminded of the word. And we need personal Bible study. By our each individual have their own personal Bible study time and personal prayer life. That's very important. I looked over at John chapter 18 and verse 36. It said this, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. See, some of us, we making our kingdom of this world, but if we follow in Jesus, our kingdom is not of this world either. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should be not delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. You heard that? This world is not his kingdom. This not his home. It's not our home either. We're passing through. This is our workstation. The earth is our workstation. And we are in the world. But we shouldn't be of the world. What the world is doing should not impress us. What the world is doing should turn us away from the world. Lying, cheating, stealing. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Evil is good. Good is... Now, we don't want no part of that. We want a more sure. And the more sure for us is heaven. Where moth and rust don't corrupt and thieves can't break in and steal nothing. We want to shake ourselves free in Jesus. Shake yourself free in Jesus. This way we don't have to fret about what's happening. If my people, he made us all for his pleasure. But we won't humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. That's the problem. And when true believers truly do this as well, do what the scriptures say, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We will see a change come about. Now, not everybody still is going to be saved. But we will see more love for one another. We'll see a gathering like never before. I did the fourth Sunday fellowship, and I won't say beg and plead. That's not what I had to do. But I had to give people position in order for them to come. They wouldn't come out of love. I had to ask them to do something on what they call the program during the praise and worship service. I had to ask somebody to come and read two scriptures, Old and New Testament. Because if they didn't have no part of the service, they wasn't coming. They wasn't coming just to hug each other. Say, God bless you. I love you. Nobody greeted nobody with a holy kiss. They wasn't going to do that. They done got far away from what he said. Far away from the word of God. Pastors don't write other churches unless it's something they want. They want you to come to the anniversary. They want you to come to their revival. It's something they have going on that they want you to come. Family and Friends Day. They don't just sit down and write a letter. I tried that and they thought I was crazy. I said, oh, they didn't get that yet. Don't sit down and write, dear beloved. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Was thinking about you today and all our brethren and sisters there at the church of whatever it is, St. John Missionary Across the Road Church, whatever. And I just thought I would just jot these few words down in love to show you that I'm thinking about you and that God is yet faithful to us. Looking forward to greeting you again in the name of Jesus. They won't do that. Just a simple thing is that you didn't ask for nothing. You're not telling them to do nothing. Just I thought about you and I want to show you love. But we can't even come together in fellowship unless we members of the same are the same thing. That's the only way we can come together. And the pastor don't want you to go nowhere. And I kind of understand that. But if you teaching well and you making sure you put God first and not yourself in your wallet and your family and what you want to go on, but you making sure you're led by the Spirit of God and all you're doing in this house, the house of prayer, let them go. They asked them to come over there and put them, they put them on what they call program. Let them go over there and talk of his wondrous work. Somebody may get saved. Because see, people ain't trying to save no more. They're trying to get money. And they're not teaching the people to live a godly life no more. They're teaching people to go to work, open a business, and make you some money. Because we want to look like the world. We say we're the church, but we want to look and act like the world. Again this morning, he said, the poor will always be among us. Not everybody here is going to be rich. Not everybody here is going to be what they used to call middle class, because they say it's coming down to where there's no classes. Either you're going to be rich or poor. That's what's being taught in the buildings. Now, the house of prayer is still holding on. The house of prayer is still saying, let God arise and your enemies be scattered. The enemy of lack, the enemy of hunger, the enemy of homelessness. Yeah, the enemy of confusion, the enemy of mental health. Let the enemies be scattered. But you're going to be made whole because he gave you power, love, and a sound mind. So that's what we're walking in. And when we see somebody else need help, especially those that are our brothers and sisters in Christ, then we reach in to put in. I told you about that Charles C. Woods. He taught me well. God used the man to teach me. He would call me and say, hey, we got a sister and she needs some help. What you got over there? I said, well, I got $100, Bishop. I was going to put it in church. I say, but that's what I got. Well, hold on to that. I'll be on over there. Because at that time, I didn't have a car. You might call the evangelist Sandra Billings. Hey, Billings, I got a situation here. What you got over there? She might say, but Bishop, I got $200. See, because we were taught to give, and it would be given to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God loves a cheerful giver. And when we gave, we saw the evidence of our giving. So whatever he said, we was on it with the money. We weren't holding on to that. So look, he would get two or three of us together. And maybe me and Billings ride together, and he go pick up the lady that, or the sister that had the no food and no detergent and whatever. She didn't have high cleaning supplies, you know, and she didn't have no money. So he go pick her up, and we go to the grocery store. He give her the card and tell her, go get what you need, baby. And then when she feel her caught up with whatever she needed, or she came and she said, this is it. He would say, all right, Once they ranged it up and everything, he was sent home out the store with the cart of stuff with the bag boy or whoever. And we stand there and he said, "What you got?" I said, "I got my 100." And if the stuff was $407, let's say, "I got my 100. Bill and got her 200. And somebody else over here said, "Well, I got the rest. I got a few food stamps. And the food she bought, I'm going to cover it with this." Yeah. We going on out to the car because they putting her stuff in Bishop trunk. Me and Billings, we head on back to the house. And we get back over there. He might say, Bob and Mike, go on in there and cook them something. And then he might take the kids up to the chicken place and get a box of chicken so that they can eat something until the meal get done. But while the cooking and Billing might help, another person might help to start cleaning. And guess what happened? We have church right up in there. Oh, we have church, bishop preaching everything. Get him a plate of food, and after it's all said and done, we go our separate ways. But he taught us this. What you did today, nobody can hear about it. We can't hear this no more. Her name can't be associated with what we did today. God loves a cheerful giver. We give from our heart. Yeah, we always give more than. He taught me that. And love the saints. We love one another. If I heard you went to jail and I could do something about it, that's what I did, and you never hear anything out of my mouth about it again. But I tell you, I got with some people, and that's the way these people was not church folks. They wasn't this way. And when I tell you, when I first got back to Florida, I was hurt. I could not find another church like that where the leadership was like that. If it was, God kept it a secret from me because he wanted me to get experiences, and then he wanted me to be an example, is the way I see it. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to one more quick song of the morning, and when we come back, we're still talking about fret not about what is happening. We don't have to be concerned over it and worried about it. Because of this, God has it all in control. He's fixing it. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
This next song is a favorite of mine because I stop and think of why I love Jesus. And the first thing that comes to mind is I love him because he first loved me. I love him because he looked beyond my faults and he sees all of my needs. I love him because in spite of Edward, he still loves me. I love him because he meets every need. And not only the need, but he supplies and gives me my heart's desire. Thanks, you know, a lot of things we don't even need. We don't even need them, but just because we want them, God gives them to us. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we come with, Lord, I love you. praise you. I really praise you.
I really praise you.
Just for who you are.
Just for who you are.
In all of your glory.
In all of your glory.
My heart sings.
My heart sings.
Holy.
Holy, holy.
You are everything.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah. Lord, I love you this morning. And because you love me, I'm not going to fret about what's happening. It's a lot going on. If you hit Yahoo right now in the Yahoo News, all kind of stuff. The president this, the one running for president that, and all the negative stuff about these people, and just so much stuff. So much stuff. And for us, we have to be careful on the job. We have to be careful everywhere we go today as Americans. What in the world? What in the world? People that are not supposed to be here come here the wrong way. These people are able to vote. And I believe that's why they're allowed. These people are able to get assistance from the government. Many hardworking Americans been here a long time, born and raised here. And they couldn't get a dollar in for nothing. A dollar food stamp, a dollar nothing. All could happen for them is to pull more taxes out of their paycheck. I'm telling you what's going on now. You have student loans, and they will force you to pay these loans back. But these people come, never worked here, never gave a penny in, but they get your hard-earned money that you paid into taxes. You're being taxed, double taxed, triple taxed, just taxed, because I work for the money, you tax me. I go to the store to shop or whatever, you tax me on everything. I'm doing my big buy a car and see how much the taxes is. But I can't get nothing in my own country where I've worked hard, paid taxes to help build the country. But these people that's not legal can come in and get everything. Come on. My children are pushed out because the illegal children get to have it. Fret not about what is happening. Don't worry yourself over that. I know from childhood, many of you heard this, we have our God that sits high and look low. And he said it in his, fret not thyself because of evildoers. They're going to be cut off. And the same thing, let me tell you this, that you do to other people will be done to you. And if not to you individually, your children, your grandchildren. You may be dead and gone, but your great-great-grandchildren will suffer because of what you've done. They may not get to see tomorrow because of what you've done. So if my people, again this morning, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There are many places in the world need healing, but I'm talking about our place of America where we were born. And those of us that stand for what's right. I've never seen so many places everywhere you go that have a television. You know, the doctor office, the blood, people that collect blood, you know, where you have to go get your blood drawn. They do all kind of tests. I've never seen so many places where the TV is set to what's going on with politics. I'm like, what in the world? To look at regular TV today is against my religion. I can't do it. It is against what the Word of God says. Looking at regular TV, if you're saved, it'll make you humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and turn from your wicked ways. It'll make you do it. Especially you come from a place where all of this was not on television because people had respect for themselves. People had respect for other people. Today, it's the anything goes show. You can like it or not like it. If I like it, I'm doing it, and I don't care what you say. No respect for your own self. It's as if human morals and real human decency has gone out the window. And it's like, it's okay to be, no, it's not, but they don't know this. I can go out the door with two left shoes on, and they're going to say, oh, girl, that's nice. When you got that, when you thought of that? And they literally mean to them, it's a good fashion. But those are clothes in their right mind looking and saying, oh, she done lost her mind. She don't have a sound mind. She messed up. But this morning, we don't have to fret about what's happening. God told us it was coming up. Anyway, our job is to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. We pray for those that we see are messed up. We talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people so that he can draw all men unto him. I know you went and applied and they told you no, but hold on. Before you applied, you asked God for it. They said no, but hold on. I'll give you another testimony. I like talking about it. I had applied for the job, went in for the interview. They told me no, you know, they was looking for something different because of this, this, and whatever. I left and went home, and I didn't leave there sad. And let me tell you, I didn't have a penny in my pocket. I had to borrow money to get gas to go on the interview. But I didn't leave there sad and downhearted and depressed and letting anxiety kick in. I didn't do that because guess what? I asked God for it before I left home. And he said yes before I left the house. So I went on. The interviewer said no. Thank you for coming. I went on. By the time I got home, the interviewer had left me a message saying, come back. When I went back, I don't know if it was for that day or the next day, but I went back. And he said, oh, but I found this. You can do this, this, and this, and that, and get the same pay, get the same vacation time. And the 4K, it's a good 4K plan. He said no when I went in there. And I had to go back. But I went back to get the blessing of God that he said yes about. And things changed and it worked together for my good. The first thing I interviewed for was much harder. It was added stuff. But now this second interview, he took that hard stuff off and left me with the lesser stuff and paid me more money. Gave me a good 401k plan. So fret not about what is happening. God have the last word on everything. What is it you want? He's able. What they said, recession, something else they were saying, somebody told me about. And it appeared that things have tripled in price. But I saw the other day somewhere that they working on bringing that thing back down. Because of this, God won't let it last too long. Huh? We gonna make it. Hallelujah. And it's not about stuff and things. Yeah, some of us want a lot of stuff and blah, 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 blah. But guess what? We shouldn't be concerned about stuff and things. Because if we'll delight ourselves in him, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. But the key is to delight yourself in Jesus Christ. Delight yourself in God. Not in the job, not in the promotion, not in the money, not in the new car, not in the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Delight yourself in Jehovah through his son, Jesus Christ. Make him the God of your life. Make him first in everything. Acknowledge him in all your ways. He's going to direct your path. Look, I wanted something, let's say a juicer, and I wanted a good one. And I asked the Lord for it, and I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I'm going to look. Let's say that. I'm going to look for a juicer. And let it be on sale, the one that I really want. Let it be on sale. And I got there, and the juicer was sitting off back in a bin. Not where the juicers usually be, just this one was sitting there. And when I looked at the price of it, the price was so low, I said, I'm going to customer service with this because this is a return and something is wrong with it. I went to customer service. I said, I want to know, is this a return or is something wrong with it? And so she scanned it and looked at it. And she said, no, ma'am. Somebody got it off the shelf and was, you know, put it in the cart to purchase it. And evidently they thought, nah, I don't need it. So they just set it somewhere. And I said, well, why the price so low? She said, well, sometimes we get too many of something. And to move them quickly, we'll lower the price really good. And she said, it could have been an employee who had planned on purchasing that later and set it there, but you just happened to come by and get it. Huh? Lord, let it be on sale for me. And I want a top-notch brand. I want a high, top-of-the-line brand. Yeah. I like Hamilton Beach. Yeah, I like all kind of things like that. Because it's going to take a ticking, well, should I say a licking, and keep on ticking. It's not going to break down on me in a week. I use it every day to make smoothies or whatever. It's not going to wear out quick because I need a quality so that it can last. Because I can't go back next week and buy another one. It was over $200. I can't go back and do that. And I don't know. And then I could, you know, if I asked the Lord again and he put another one on sale for $39, I could go back and get another one. But I want to do what's right the first time. Yeah. Now, if it's got a glitch in it, then I just take it back in there, you know, switch it out. But I did what was right. I didn't squander and waste my money. Hallelujah. I got top of the line quality so that it would last. Yeah. God is still in the quality giving business. He's still right there for us. And we want to pray away what is not right. We know it shouldn't be. We want to pray it away. Bind it up and cast it away in the name of Jesus. And we ask God to cover us in his blood, the blood of Jesus. And Father, yea, though we walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with us. So we have nothing to fret, nothing to worry about, top to bottom, nothing. We're leaning and depending on Jesus. He's our friend. He's our guide. He's our leader. He's our savior. We're joint heirs with him. We're related through his blood. Hallelujah. He washed us clean with his blood. And the same blood run through his vein is running through ours. But it's a spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We have the spirit of God. Jesus has the spirit of the Father. And he acts like his Father. And we want to act like our Father, God, Jehovah, Mary's baby, the bright and morning star. They're one, the lily of the valley. Hallelujah. Jesus came humbly. He came low. He didn't come beating on his chest and head swollen. He got better robes than all of them at the synagogue. And his sandals are the best sandals, better than all of theirs. Although it was, he didn't come fancy. He come in quality now. Hallelujah. But he didn't come fancy. He could have came with a big crown on his head. Woo! Full of emeralds and rubies and diamonds and sapphires and topaz and amethyst and all these kinds. He could have come that way, but he didn't. And he want us to become humble, remain humble. Seeking his face, turning from our wicked ways, praying. This is a praying way today, praying night and day. I know them intercessors, the real intercessors, I know they on it. Touching and agreeing and binding and agreeing. Yeah. This is why we're still lasting, prayer. This is why we're still lasting, his word going out over the land of America. God still have love for America. But America, many don't have love for him. And operating in his blessings, don't even know it and against him. Don't tell me you don't have a sound mind. Because your mind is not sound. You trying to tell me you working with a sound mind because you work for the state or you work for the government or you work for the bank or you crazy as a bed bug. You trained and you know how to do the job, but you didn't train to stay with God. You didn't train to learn of him. Take your yoke upon him and learn of him. For his yoke is easy, his burden is light. Sometimes it'll make you cry. And sometimes it'll make you angry. And we can be angry, but sin not. And I do believe God count the tears of a woman. I believe that. But I like to cry in praise and worship. Yeah. But many days when I see how crooked the preachers are, and they got words, but they don't have a godly life. It's hurting because, you know, people are being bamboozled and swindled. You know that the people that's following them are not being treated right. And they're following them because they trust what these people are telling them. And not a word of it is true. They have the gift of gab. Yeah, this is why we have to be careful. I was never one to really follow TV evangelists so much. I used to look at Benny Hinn, and I used to look at Tammy Faye Baker and Jim and back in the day. And my husband, my ex-husband, he told me, he said, look, that man got to lie, cheat, and steal because he got to keep that woman supplied in wigs and makeup. I said, what? He said, yeah. They getting that money because she got to have it. Later on, it truly come out. You know what? I was like, you know, now the devil showed him that, but he put his own spin on it and it come to pass. Yeah. But I tell you today, we want to love God. We want to seek him with our whole heart. We want to walk up right before him. We want to stay with him. We want to delight ourselves in him. We want to keep our mind on him because we know not a day, not an hour when he'll return. And we never know what the next hour to the next hour is going to bring. I woke up one morning hearing about COVID. I had never heard nothing about no coronavirus. Next thing I know, the whole world shut down over this coronavirus thing. So hour to hour, minute to minute, second to second, we don't know. But it do us really good to stay prayed up and to stay in God and remember what his word said. Hallelujah. We're the head and not the tail today. We're above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. We're more than conquerors through his son, Christ Jesus, that loves us. We can look to the hill from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord. He made the heavens and the earth. But my God shall supply all my need according to the riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. Yeah, these are the things we want to think on. Whatever's good, pure, whatever's truthful, whatever's lovely, whatever brings a good report. And we want to share with our family more, share with our friends more, especially those who haven't come to the Lord yet. I may have come and backslid. I may have come and thought, well, I just put my name on the roll, so I'm going to go back and do what I... No, we want to minister to them as often as possible because we're seeking souls today to be saved. The church looked like it lost that part. It just wanted to entertain and get money and grow. But what about the soul? And not just bring a group of people to the altar and say, I do, and don't keep up with them. Yeah. Because you don't know what's needed in people's lives. I became a member of a church. I forgot the name of it. Right before God set me totally free, saved me, sanctified me, and all of that. But it was over, and the pastor was named Rogers. And when I tell you this man ran around looking after us, what you need, and he would make sure you had food, clothes, a way to church and a way back from church. And if you was hungry after church, you could eat. Yeah. And people weren't bringing covered dishes. It was all from the church. Yeah. God is safer. Listen, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to add to this, please feel free to press that number one. and come in and share with us today. It may be fret not about what is happening. It may be about something else I said. It may be about what you see as far as politics go or whatever other things in or whatever children are going through, your grandchildren or your children. Yeah, you may want to just come in and share something with us. Hallelujah. I'm going to this one, and when I come back, the studio is still open.
For your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. And we need to get serious. I'm telling you about 2024 and the things of God and seek it more, pray more, get in our word more, and know that he is God. I left out of here yesterday and I went out in my spot, my prayer closet, and I was looking at some things online of how children had been separated. You know, they were friends as little children, and they still little children, but they was like maybe 3, 2, and now they 7, 8, 6 years old, and they see each other again for the first time. And I saw that, and it just touched my heart. But then the Spirit of the Lord, a praise come upon me. And I'm telling you, I just had to give it up to God right there, right there, right then. Hallelujah. And I begin to tell him, thank you. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I thank you for it. Because I know he was doing something for me. Had a good appointment at the doctor yesterday. I had to go to the doctor and for my feet swelling, and then he was talking about my heart, and then let me do an EKG where they put all them things on you. Yeah, I said, well, go ahead. I had left. It was on my way home. He called me back. Tell me, I just want to be on the safe side. I said, okay, go on and be safe. Because I'm already safe in his arms. I'm already safe in God. Do you hear me? And so I'm thankful unto the Lord, which I got to get a gift for him and take back over to the day. I'm going to the eye doctor today to get new glasses. All right, there you go. There you go, C.R. right there. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I'm going to the eye doctor today, and on my way back, I'll stop by his office and drop a gift off over there to him, because he is thorough. He is very thorough, and God gave me favor. Now, this is not my primary care doctor. This is a doctor that works in the primary care doctor's office, and I haven't seen Dr. Moshe Ree in a while, but this man here, I think he's Philippine. He may be, I don't know. But I know he you know, either Chinese, Philippines, something like that. But he's thorough. And like I said, God gave me favor with him. And so he do a little bit more than normally would be done. And I'm thankful unto the Lord. Yeah, thankful. Hallelujah. Tomorrow I go to the foot doctor. Yeah, I'm older. And so I'm taking care of Barbara. Yeah, somebody taking care of Barbara? Yeah, Barbara taking care of Barbara. So, yeah, I'm going to the foot doctor tomorrow, and it's okay. It's okay. It's already all right. God have it all. And I have favor with her, too. Favor with the foot doctor. Favor with the eye doctor. When I go to the eye doctor, to the eye specialist is where I go. And when I need glasses, I just go over to her place where they do the glasses at. So when I go to see her, she want to talk about the Lord the whole time. I want to hurry up and get the test done and this and that so we can talk about Jesus. She was a Baptist pastor wife. Yeah. And she loved it. She loved it. Well, wait, let me run do this right quick. I'll be right back, Miss Pittman, and we're going to talk about the Lord some more. She loved it. You see, God give me favor. Yeah. I love people. I don't mind giving, because he loves a cheerful giver, and he gave me the gift of giving, and I'm so thankful, hallelujah, unto him. He's a great God, and we're thankful unto him. I want to talk about them coats, and I want to start raising money for the coats, and it's only $300 I think I need, because I'm going to go different places, Burlington and, you know, a couple of more places to get some coats on sale. And I take it to the children in the project and give it to those children. Yeah. And then I had thought about it at one time, give them to the elementary school right there by the project, because they got to work with them. You know what I'm saying? And school supplies and all of that, you know. I do the best I can. And so God knows the intent of my heart. And I was giving out lunches over there, but the office, the rental office people, management, they didn't want me to do it. Because, see, they're angry with the people because of the behavior of the people. It really will, if you're in a sound mind, it really would make you not want to be bothered on a good day. But I'm glad I got Jesus. Yeah, and got him in my heart, so you understand. And look, God loved those people too. Do you know the people that go to jail and prison? Did you know God loved them? He sent his son to die for the good, the bad, and the ugly. Yeah, all of us. Because see, at one time I was bad. I was ugly. Yeah. But he come in. Hallelujah. And he changed my life. He fixed me from the inside out. and I'm yet struggling for perfection. I'm yet looking to the hills to be delivered. Yeah, I'm not perfect yet. Hallelujah. But when he get through with me, the songwriter said, please, be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. But when he get through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Because, you know, the gunk and the junk and all that have to be burned off gold. So God is still burning stuff off me and off us. Yeah, because we haven't arrived yet. And when I get there, hallelujah, I'll know for sure. If I died in him when I wake up, I wake up coming back with him. Yeah, Lord, to judge the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we going to be researching. And I might do a Bible study online one night a week. On the weekend, on a Saturday night, do a Bible study and see how that go. And I might bring in some different preachers to, you know, do a Bible study. And that way, you know, we get to meet more people, greet more people. I like meeting people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because God said we are to love one another. If I don't know you and I don't know you over there, how am I going to love you? I don't even know you're there. But if we come together. And listen, October the 27th, I'm working on that date, the fourth Sunday in October, to bring some churches together, and even the church from Alabama, Birmingham, bring churches together and people together to meet one another, pray for one another, encourage one another. And Apostle Latonia Turner, that's my friend and sister in Christ. I love that Turner. Y'all hear me? Because no matter what I was doing, Turner was going to come and be a part of that thing. I was putting chairs together in the cafe. Turner came right on in there, the apostle, and started unloading chairs and taking the paper off of, setting the table. I said, look at this woman here. Ooh-wee. I want oxtails. I said, okay, I want some of your, what's she call them? I think she called them muffins or something, but it's cupcakes. And they're so big. And I had baked them in a muffin tin. And she come right on in there. Then my 10-year anniversary came. Turner came right on and gave me $100. I said, now this lady here, what am I gonna do with her? Yeah. So then today, I mean, in this particular service, I want to bless her because she's been a good friend to me. And many things she had, I wasn't able to attend or I wasn't able to give her a gift of money. And so in this service, I want to recognize her and give her a blessing. And so we thank God for that. Y'all pray for her. October 27th. And I've already, you know, put some invitations out to people and let them know I will get back to you, because I have to make sure that the location in Jacksonville on Don's Avenue is going to be available to us. So that's what I'm waiting to get a yes. And once I get that, then I can put the address to it. Sion, Bud, and Dot, if you're able, come on here. Yeah, just come on. If Bud in town, y'all come on. And let's have a good time. And I, at this particular service, I want to do it like I do the regular Fourth Sunday fellowships, although this is not really that, but I want to do it like that. And you talk about some praise and worship and some good time. And then I've asked my grandsons, asked their mom and dad to bring them, make sure they come as the musicians. Because I like the way them boys play, and I like looking at them play, and telling God thank you, because these are my grandsons. Yeah, and God bless them not to be in the world or playing for circular groups and all of that, but they play for the church, and so I'm grateful. Rose Brown, write that date down so you don't be big mad, because I'd love for you to attend October 27th. Yeah, and anybody else that could come, Sister Rita, my God, baby, Sister Samoa, anybody that can come, y'all come on. Yeah, I've told Minister Shonda and Minister Spinner, but her name is Green now, Minister Green, Andrea Green. And so I told them two about it, and I'm waiting to hear back from them. Because I told Andrea, I know she'll tell Minister Spinner, but I got to write. I mean, I know she'll tell Minister Shonda, but I'm going to write Minister Shonda today myself. I just had a lot going on yesterday to get done, and I did so much, and I had to stop because I had that doctor's appointment and cleaning out the back closet and, you know, cleaning my bedroom closet, just a lot going on. So to get things done, I'm going to box it up and give it away. Yeah, get it out of here because I don't need it. And when I moved here, I said, I'm not going to bring all that stuff in here. Like, oh, it's, I'm getting it out. That's all I can say. Hallelujah. All right. We go into one more scripture of the morning and talk about this. And God is faithful. That's what I know. And I thank him for it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen, Jeremiah 33:25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and of earth. I like that right there because he did. Yeah. He did. He made it possible. Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation. Yeah. And then he go right into what he already said. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, hallelujah. God did it. Yeah. Hallelujah. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measure, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, considerest thou not what this people have spoken. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes we have to overlook what people say because they don't mean it. And sometimes they mean it and they're speaking against the blessings of God towards us. I don't care what you say about me. I'm blessed. I can't help what you think about me. I'm blessed. Yeah. I can't help what you think because that's on you. But I do know this. I'm blessed by the Most High God. I'm blessed by Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, Jehovah Nisi. I'm blessed by Jehovah God. I'm blessed through his son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I know it's God that gives these good gifts. No way the devil could do nothing with it. Can't do a thing with it. Because he made me the head and not the tail. He made me above and not beneath. He said it so if I needed him, I could call him anytime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all bear with me 1 minute here. I just saw the text. Wait a minute. Okay. Good morning. Okay. Yes, Sister Samoa, yes, you can. God bless you today. Good to see you. Good to see you. Yes. All right. I'm going to the next song. And when we come back, hopefully Sister Samoa is coming. She has some words she would like to say. And so she will be coming next. So I'm going to one more song of the morning. And while the song play, I will be sharing with her. And she's sharing with me. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one.
Mm-hmm. night, whatever I do, I'll get it right. With no regret, no guilt or shame, this time, no, not this time. Once I surrender, I won't dare look back, 'cause if I do, I'll get off track. Move ahead in faith and patiently await your answer. What will it be?
Sight beyond what I see. You know what's best for me. Prepare my mind, prepare my heart for whatever comes. I'm gonna be ready, strength to pass any.
Did you press that number one, Sister Samoa? Okay, maybe she did. Okay, I brought you in. Are you ready? Can you hear me, Sister Samoa? Unmute your phone. All right, Brother D. Oh, I might have Laura open. All right, Brother D. All right, all right, all right, all right. Okay, I'm going to close your back, Laura. I think I opened yours. Let me go try to open Sister Samoa's. I'm coming at you right now, Sister Samoa. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. Good morning, everyone. I know it's been a long time, but you are not forgotten. Ms. Barb, I just wanted to share something that was on my heart, and I feel like it's important. I know for a fact that God loves every one of us, and that He wants the best for us. But like I remember many a times you said, you have to take a look around, go back to the old path. I just wanted to share some things. The first thing is, it's for our leaders, our world leaders. How do you expect to stand and stand strong? A strong household stands together. Mr. or Mrs. President, you are responsible for every one of us in this United States. We are your children. Love us. Take care of us because we represent your actions. You in leadership, this United States is our home. Train us up in the best way for us to support the well-being of us. Sensible people don't build relationships based on only 6 months of back and forth backstabbing from each other or their teams. You wanted the responsibility of leading the nation. Lead the nation out of need and not out of greed. I'm sorry, you all. Just give me a minute. You expect your household to be run under decency, order, respect, and integrity. That's how we all want our households to be run. But in this case, the White House is our house. We're the family of the White House of the United States. they call the White House the big house, right? And we all want the big family. Most of us want the big family. So treat us with love, respect, dignity, and honor as you would want the same from us. Now, I'm placing an executive order for the United States of America to take care of their people first, train their own people, their own country for their good. Thank you. I appreciate you letting me speak.
Amen. Well, this is what I know. I know today, I could be wrong, but it appeared to me it's about the vote. It's not about the American people being taken care of or being loved. We love votes is what I'm seeing. Now, I could be wrong, but this is what I see. Is that it's about the votes. I remember there was a movie, It's All About the Benjamins. This is about the vote, because I want to get in and I want to lead the country in the way I want to lead it, and I'm leading wrong. The other one, I want to get in and I want to lead the country. I'm telling y'all, I want to bring the country back the way it should be. Now, I kind of believe that. I kind of believe that, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're older and you see where this thing has fallen,
yeah,
you're like, oh, my goodness, no. Who is running this thing? What is going on? Yeah. Everybody got a voice, and everybody, I want to please everybody. But the people that's right. Now, the people that's right, I could care less, but those that are for the wrong thing, I want to please them. I want to make it okay that people go to work slovenly, as Shante called it. You can go to work looking any kind of way you want to. I want to change that so that people shower before coming to work, and I don't have to tell you. You know you have to shower before you come in here. Even fast food working people. I got to tell you to take a shower. Where's your head? Where's your mind? I got to tell you, you can't come to work with purple and turquoise and green hair. And everybody not into that fad. So you got some politician, they go for whatever the people want to go for. But as you said, it's like we're your children, leadership. Train us in the way we should go. So it's like this. My son, at the age of 13, he wanted to pierce his ears. I'm his mother. I'm the head, so I got to give direction to my son. I can't just let him. He wasn't a girl. He was a boy. I know all the other boys at school doing it. It looked cool to you, this and that. Because I knew he wasn't a homosexual. I knew he loved women. Too many of them at one time, if you ask me. But I just said, no, you can't do it. Yeah. And I told him about Captain Bly. Hey, he had one earring because his mate had the other one. Now he didn't want to get one, he want to get two, so everybody know I got my own earring. Ain't no other man got the earring matched to mine. But you don't do that, you're not a woman. We right. believe in what the scriptures say. And that body is not yours to whack it up and tack it up and all of that. But you got the leadership saying, it's okay. Hey, you can go to work with big dreads on your head. You can go to work and don't comb your hair. You can go to work and don't shower. You can dress any kind of way you want to. Women, you can walk almost naked in the street, and if a man rapes you, we're going to lock him up. You see, you got some craziness going on in leadership. And we're taking our mind off God, putting it to the leadership. They're not going to lead us right. I'm here to tell you. They're not going to train us up in the way that we should go. Only God will. Because he said he didn't want us to be ignorant. He said, in all I get and get understanding. But, and then I'm like this. You see, a lot of children have lost their way. They don't know the way because the parents didn't teach them, because the parents didn't know the way. So if we got a leadership that don't know the way, how can they teach us to? How can they train us? They wasn't trained. And if they was, they turned from the training and they're whoring after other gods, I'm going to put it that way. They're not for our God. They're not for the, doing what would bless America, what would keep America as a number one top country. But people don't respect us, America, like they used to. They think we're a joke. They think the leadership of America is a joke. Yeah. But we pray for our leadership, that God would bless them and that he would heal them, and whatever they need, he would supply it. But not according to evil, only according to his way. Yeah. So prayer is the key. But I tell you, many of us, we don't have our mind right. And it's not the leadership fault. We got 66 books. We got a quiet place we can go and pray. But we're not doing that. And we're not believing. See, it all comes down to this. Believe it. If you're getting anything from God, you must believe. And you must believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But many times our mind is running. And God said this, and at 5 o'clock, if it didn't work by 10 after 5, we somewhere else. But we got to stay right there until he comes. Hallelujah. In faith, in trusting him, in letting go. But it takes the Holy Ghost that help us to do all of this. Yeah. The Spirit of God must be in us for real. If not, we're going to be squirreling burden all over the place, in and out, switch and swatch, and an unstable man can't get nothing from God because he's unstable in all his ways. So we praying this morning, the Lord, you will fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Father, you gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Show us how to activate these things today, August 27, 2024. And Lord, I need you to move quick. I feel like I'm perishing. Move quick for me, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel my freedom, see. I feel my freedom. I'm not going to let that enemy get me down with nothing. I'm not going to look to man for nothing. I'm going to look to God for everything. He's the author and finisher of my faith. He's my Alpha and my Omega. He's coming back for me one day. Hey, glory, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, he's coming back for me one day. I just have to have the patience to wait on him. Yeah, I can't get nothing from man. Man messed up. He can't teach me too much because he don't know nothing. And dollar bills are dwindling and dangling before his eyes. Prestige and power is not Jehovah Jireh, not Jehovah God, not Jesus Christ, the Son of the. That's not what's important. Money, prestige, and the way they acting it is if this is gonna last forever, but this won't always be here. This is going to pass away. God is bringing down a new heaven and a new earth. And if we focus on these things and believe God to do it and not what we can do and no other, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're grateful unto him this morning. Is there anyone else? Did D run away? Because I know D be getting it. Had D be on a mission. I think he'd be at work, y'all. I think he'd be at work somewhere doing something. And I don't know how his daughter is now, but yeah, she might be up in age now. Look at me talking about up in age. She might be around 5. She might be 4 or 5. And if he tells me she's 6, I ain't going to be able to handle it. But, yeah, she may be well up there. But I thank God for him this morning. And Brother D been around for years and years. And so I'm grateful unto him. Studio is open. If anyone else have something they would like to say, feel free to press that number 1 and come in. And it may not be about fretting out about what is happening. Yeah, it may be about how you feel about things that's going on. And some people are afraid to talk about it because they're afraid somebody's going to come after them. Yeah. But I was just shocked at the American people are not saying, you know, here and there you hear a little something, but they're not just outraged and just fussing everywhere and talking about it. Yeah. All right, Brother Anthony, God bless you this morning. How are you?
Excuse me. Bless, highly favored. Good morning to you this morning, Mr. Barber. Good morning to you. Everybody out there listening this morning, first of all, I just want to give God thanks, first of all, for waking me up this morning. Thank God for allowing me to see another day I've never seen before. Thank God for the activity of my limbs. And then thank God for who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he taking me at. And I give him all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank him for another day of life from his breath that he's put in my lungs, and I'm able to open my eyes and see another day. So I just thank God for that. And listen to Sister Samoa. Good morning, Sister Samoa. Good to hear from you. And yes, it's been a long time, but glory be to God, you're still here alive and well. So we thank God for that. And I would say, as far as, you know, what's going on, the agenda in this world, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. And, you know, just like Ms. Barbara said, you know, it's how we, you know, we had to set a standard, you know, and our parents before us set a standard and the generation before then, you know. But, you know, to a certain aspect, you know, the standard has been lowered, you know, to, you know, for as our generation, you know, the younger generation now, you know, but they don't have nobody that's teaching them the right way or willing to stand and say, hey, this ain't right. But it's all, you know, it's how you feel, what you think you are, you know, and that ain't right, because God made you as a man and you a man. And if God made you as a woman, you a woman. Ain't no in between, you know. You can't produce what you can't make, you know. And the science and the world agenda, and that's, you know, what we is, you know, the older generation, we got to stand and we got to continue to pray and hold ourselves accountable, but also hold them accountable as well and let them know, hey, you know, this ain't the path that we was on. Y'all going away from the path, and, you know, have, you know, in our mind to show them, look, hey, you know, look at how things was then and look at them now. Compare the pros and the cons and see where things are going at now. And this is why things are going the way they're going, because y'all not, y'all not putting those steps in order to continue to keep the path straight, you know, not veering to the left or to the right. The wide and broad path, as the word say, that will lead you to destruction. But we want to stay on the straight and narrow path, you know. And, you know, that come with disobedience that people want to do what they want to do. And, you know, the main thing is religion. So if you really think about it, you know, ever since, you know, the world say, you know, we don't need to pray together, or we don't need to pray. I mean, the world kind of going to poop now to a certain extent, you know. But as we stand up for righteousness and for the right thing as being men and women of God, you know, with our prayers, it says a righteous man, prayers avail as much, you know. So if we stand and there's 2 or 3 or 4 of us and we agree, you know, we could chase 10,000, you know. We can make the change, you know. But we got to stand, we got to put our foot down, and we got to say no. You know, we're not going to let the enemy have our children or have this nation. But we're going to stand on what we were found on, and that's trusting God, staying in the word, praying, and, you know, being there for our brothers and sisters, you know, and, you know, it's not hard to teach, you know, it's not hard to teach another person, you know, the right thing to do. You know, it's just the matter of you wanting to apply that, wanting to put yourself out there to do that, to help that individual or that person. If you see they in distress or they need help, you know, help them, you know. Be there for your brother and your sister in the time of need, you know, whatever they may need. And that's where the love come in. You know, we got to have love for one another, you know. And I say this to say I was listening to this this guy on Facebook on the reel. And I try to, you know, I don't try to be on Facebook that like that no more. I try to, you know, these social media platforms, I try to kind of stay away from them. But every now and then I get up and I be listening. But he was just stating, you know, even with, you know, us as black people, you know, back in the day, we used to stick together. You know, we was kind of, you know, how they say how the Spanish people is and the Mexicans, how they stick together. Even the Asian people, you know, they are all being in the same house working together. We used to be like that. But I just listened to this young guy, and he was saying how, you know, that there's not us no more. We know we got to the point where we like crabs in the barrel. We pulling each other down. We jealous of what the next person getting or the next person got. When we can have the same thing, all we got to do is use our head, put our heads together and work together and embrace one another, but not embracing no hate, you know, towards one another. But, you know, being grateful and thankful for what the next man got and willing to say, hey, you know, I could contribute to what you got, you know, and, you know, I can get the same thing, and I ain't got to be jealous of you. I might not get it right then and there, but eventually I can, and I can invest in what, you know, where your mindset is and what you got doing, long as it's the right thing, and, you know, we can make it, you know. But, you know, this agenda, how the world got us with our children and, you know, this rap and all this stuff going on, you know, the rap, you know, and hip hop and all that stuff, to 75% of it is pulling us away from what needs to be right. You know, and you got some, I can say, some people that to a certain extent that are try to teach positive, you know, positivity, you know, and they rapping or whatever. But for the most part, it's all negative. It's shoot this, do this to her. You know what I'm saying? Putting her down, you know what I'm saying? Then you got to look at, you know, just the action of them, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, saying, Ms. Barbara, you know, the men want to have the baggy jeans. They don't even know the meaning or the concept of having the baggy jeans, what that represents, you know what I'm saying? Until they get in the system or somebody that's knowledgeable, you know, an older person explain to them, hey, you know, but that's what's pushed on them, you know, in this day. You know, that's what's pushed on, even with our women, you know. You know, it's all right to wear this, you know what I'm saying? You can wear this, and, you know, I'm just thinking about, even with the hair coloring thing, you know, it ain't just, it's all cultures that just got this going on. I don't, especially kind of being out this way, you know, I done seen the old nationalities, green hair, blue, you know, red, pink. Ain't no telling what you liable to see, you know. So it just make you realize and open your eyes to, you know, how much power, you know, these social medias got, you know. But we got more power, you know, and we just need to stand, and we just need to continue to fight and don't give up, you know. But lead by example, you know. That's what I was taught. Lead by example, you know. So, you know, I just hope that bless somebody, you know, and the people out there listening. And, you know, I know all I can continue to do is pray, you know, because prayer will change things, you know. So that's why I stand at with that, and, you know, staying in this word and doing all I can do, you know, in this day. So hope that bless somebody. God bless y'all this morning, and y'all just continue to pray for me, my spirit, and the Lord. And I continue to pray y'all's. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's just, for me, it's each one teach one. And when I can find some young person that's willing to listen, I try. But the world, I'm caught them by the tail. and then TV, and like you said, the videos and all this rap stuff. Now, people in that industry, a lot of them that brought these guys in and made them famous and everything, all they saw was a dollar bill. And then the culture didn't matter, you know, African-American, black people, whatever you want to be called. That didn't matter. So it began to get worse. And these young boys, they didn't know nothing about nothing. You know, they done been through the storm and lots of rain, and then some of them, they want to be famous. And they tell the other, hey, man, if we do it this way, we going to get what? Yeah. And so the lyrics and all of this, they thought it was what to be said, and other young men took it on, and they like it and all of this. I was a young woman, and I liked Too Short. Now, that was crazy. Yeah. And so it's just certain things that the world captured. But if you train them up in the way they should go, when they get old, they won't depart from it. And right now, it's as if this generation, they don't want God. They won't believe God. So I was told it's going to skip a generation, and 20 years later, it may come back. Yeah. Because see, when God get through, they're going to get to see, oh, I needed a Savior. I didn't know. Oh, I didn't believe. I didn't think it was real. No. Too late. Too late. Too late. But we pray for the youth of today, and we pray that God will be done in their lives. And that they would begin to see God's face, somebody raise up something that they listen to. Because now if you got a favorite rapper on, they'll listen to him. If he changed and give his life to the Lord, they may. But I believe if we just give the true word of God to them and go on, somewhere down the line they're going to consider it because of this. His word won't return void. Yeah. So we got to be willing to give it to them. Yeah. Share it with them. Because they're not just going to come into the church. And a lot of preachers think that, well, people just going to come here. Now, you need to go fishing. Hallelujah. Especially there's more fish in that community where your church at. He'll make you fish because of men. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning. Is there anyone else? We still have a little time. If there's someone else have something they would like to say. God bless you this morning, Sister Samoa. Thank you so much for calling in and calling me. I like it when we talk. Sometimes she'll call me and we'll talk a while. Well, Miss Barbara, this and that. Yeah. And so I like that kind of thing. I met a young lady yesterday from a medical class, and she said, well, how was your day? I said, excellent. She said, oh, that's good to hear. You don't hear many people say that. I said, well, that's with us. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Your day can't help but be good. Yeah, and so I went on, you know, and she said, oh, I'm so glad you shared that with me. And I told her about the morning show and everything, and I kept it moving. And I told her, I said, now, look, now, I'm going to tell you something. I talk of you at work, but I talk about it all day. So, and I was the one ending it, because she was going to continue to listen. And so I told her about some stuff that should be taking place by Thursday, excitement for her. She's going to be excited is what I heard by Thursday. So, yeah, God is faithful, and we just stay with him. And asking for discernment of spirits. Ask God to show you the way. Lord, don't let me be tricked. Yeah, don't let nothing trick me, Lord. Because everybody's not out here for the truth. Yeah, not everybody love the truth. Not everybody want God. Not everybody want to be in God. So, Lord, you show me that the enemy don't win and nothing with me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. No one else have anything to say. We'll pray out this morning, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. We thank you, God, that you're on our side today in spite of us. Father, you're looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. And Father, we bow down before you this morning asking for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings and wrong thoughts, wrong speakers, and wrong feelings. And Father, today, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for forgiving us. We thank you, Lord, for putting it in the sea of forgetfulness, all our sins and wrongdoings, never to remember them again. We're grateful unto you this morning, thankful. We appreciate you. And Father, we love you today, for it was you who first loved us. Lead and guide us in the right path today, Lord. For your name's sake, Lord, let us be a great witness unto others this day as we go to and fro. Lord, as the phone even rang, Lord, somebody said they had the wrong number. But Lord, I ask today that you would let it be a call to be witnessed to. Let them be ministered unto. Yeah, Lord, in the name of Jesus. For the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And Father, we pray that you would send more laborers. But remember the labor that you called or chose us for this day. In the name of Jesus, stir up the gifts in us. Father, we ask that you would give us spiritual energy and physical energy this day. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Bless our families and bless our friends near and far. Lord, remember those that are incarcerated today. Have mercy, O God. Move by your spirit there for them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, Israel and Jerusalem, Father, preachers preaching your gospel in the name of Jesus, our brothers and sisters overseas, and Lord, America and the leadership of America, have mercy today, O God, and bless us, Lord, to come wholeheartedly to you on our knees in repentance in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this segment of Jesus in the Morning. We give you glory, God. We give you our all today in the precious name of Jesus. And as we depart this morning, Father, bless our going out. Bless our coming in and meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering us. We thank you that you know what's best for us. We thank you that all things are going to work together for our good. Father, you called us and we love you. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Asking it in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on 1 minute. We're not through yet. We're not through. Minister Shonda, I believe this is. Good morning. God bless you, Minister Shonda. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I am blessed.
You know, they say you should never come behind a preacher to say something. But I wanted, if it's all right with you, I wanted to say something because I really feel I should say this.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. And I just wanted to share for me and every one of us on the line, don't be like the world. The world don't want to help. The world don't want to share information. The world got attitude when they having a bad day. And I've been there before. Let's not be like the world, because it's blessings if we are kind, helpful, and always remember, successful people help other people to be successful. So God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, ministers. Shonda, you know, I found this right quick, too. Looking at Psalms chapter 127, this is what it said, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, the labor in vain that build it. The labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Yeah, you know why? It's God. It's all about him. It's all about his timing. Yeah, we got to look to him for everything we need. And like she said, we got to help somebody. He told us to love one another. And see, if we love one another, I can ask hey, Minister Shonda, let me get 20 of them dollars. Okay. Hey, bro, after, let me get 10 of them dollars. Because, see, I'm putting it together to help somebody. And he's willing to give. She's willing to give. This one's willing to give. We put it together and we can help somebody. Yeah, you might call me and say, hey, Sister Barbara, I got this preacher, and he blessed me real good. I want you to meet him so you can bring him to the show. Yeah. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we believe in Jesus. That's common ground right there. If we believe that God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we winning right there. Now, your decrees and your doctrine, that's up to you. Because I truly believe in the apostles' doctrine, what Jesus taught them, that they teach us through the word. And then Jesus was on the scene teaching himself. But we got to love one another and come together and be a blessing. Did you hear what she said? Wealthy people help people. They give so much, you'd be surprised. Because when they give, it come back to them. They give in taxes, contributions. They support this and that. Yeah. Because it's a tax write-off. And it helps them. They give and it returns, but they get it in a different way than they put it out. And that's the way it is for us, but we won't see that. I don't have no money, but I pray for Minister Shonda. And then I wanted $100 and somebody else would come up with the $100. I didn't pray and ask for the money. I prayed for Shonda that God would bless her and bless her ministry to come forth and flourish. But yet he sent somebody to give me $100 that I wanted. It didn't come back the way I gave it out. I gave it out in prayer. It came back financially. I gave financially. It didn't come back financially, but it came back in healing. It don't always come back the way we give it out, but it does come back. Hallelujah. But we scared to give. We hold on to George Washington until he started crying on that $1 bill. My nephew say, hey, he on the $100 bill too, sitting at the table. Saturday. That thing tickled me. Yeah. But we got to be cheerful givers as believers. Because God loves cheerful givers. And if he loves you, what is he going to do? Everything that he can. Everything that he thinks you want, he's going to give it to you. Because you're a cheerful giver, and that's what he loves. He loves those that are not selfish, and we're praying for others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Minister Shonda, for bringing that point in there. Somebody say, you'll come behind the preacher. You know, that's what they say. But sometimes God moves. And ain't nobody studying who he used the first time. Not with that. He got a second person he going to use. Yeah, so we're going to let God use that second person to tell him thank you. Because the church make up things and all of that. You know, I'm not following the church protocols per se, because guess what? It was the head pro that called me. You know, so I can't be with what they write in their own words and all of that. It don't have nothing really to do with the Bible. Yeah. But I guess, you know, they have some natural things in flesh that they feel like it's a place of respect. And I get that. But I'm not interested in that when God is moving over here. I thank him for the move. And she started laughing. Lord, I was going to laugh. Don't laugh, because I will laugh too. Yes, I will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're moving right along. Is there anyone else? We got 13 minutes now. We can do a lot in 13 minutes. Yeah. All right. Did I pray out? I think I did. All right, so.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, August 27, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day, and we're going to a short song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back. God bless you. God bless you.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight.
Acknowledge the Lord.